Well, we are glad that we are here in this place once again, proclaiming the word of the Lord and seeking for an opportunity to minister to other people as we learn ourselves what's the will and the direction of the Lord. We miss you. Certainly we miss the good mornings, the praise the Lord's, and the shouting here in this place, the clapping. But you know, we know that you are being led by God, and you are directed to worship and to be in the Word with us this morning. So I want to invite you this morning to the book of Mark, chapter 1. You know, we took a couple of Sundays here on Palm Sunday and Resurrection Sunday to focus in a big way on Jesus' incarnation and his resurrection, obviously. And this morning, we're going to go back to Mark. As you know, we this year we decided to start a new series in the book of Mark, the Gospel of Mark. And this series is called Clear Vision 2020. And this morning, we're going to be looking at this passage in Mark chapter 1, verse 21, all the way through verse 28. And I want to just invite you to look at the Word of God with us this morning and go to this scripture. And I'm going to start reading right there in verse 21. It says, "And they went into Capernaum, and immediately on the Sabbath he entered the synagogue and was teaching. And they were astonished at his teaching, for he taught them as one who had authority and not as the scribes. And immediately there was in their synagogue a man with an unclean spirit, and he cried out, What have you to do with us, Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God." But Jesus rebuked him, saying, "Be silent and come out of him." And the unclean spirit, convulsing him and crying out with a loud voice, came out of him. And they were all amazed that they questioned among themselves, saying, "What is this? A new teaching with authority. He commands even the unclean spirits, and they obey him." And at once his fame spread everywhere throughout all the surrounding region of Galilee. So as we look at this passage, we see Jesus going into Capernaum and teaching in the synagogue on Sabbath, as was the Jewish custom. Now, when he was there, people were astonished at his teaching, we read. And this makes us wonder right away, what were they accustomed to hearing? How was Jesus' teaching different than what they were used to? And when we look at that, we find the answer right away here in the passage. And what we read is that the difference was that Jesus was teaching with authority. His teaching was done with authority. Now, the authority of Jesus made all the difference in this situation here of these people who was hearing and listening to the message of God. Not only was his teaching done with authority, but also what we see is that his authority to teach is connected to his authority over the supernatural world. So Jesus comes, and there's this time when he's teaching over there in the synagogue, but there's a man with an unclean spirit. And what takes place after his teaching, or sometime during his teaching, is something that leaves everyone amazed and astonished. And it says that the deliverance of a man possessed by an unclean spirit took place right there. So the unclean spirit in the man identified Jesus and his deity, and yet Jesus silenced the unclean spirit and cast him out of the man with great power, in such a way that everyone was wondering, what is this? Is this something new? Is it a new doctrine? Who is this man? So we look at this passage, and I was thinking, Lord, what do we learn here? What do we see in this passage? You know, we see the authority of Jesus Christ. This passage is all about the authority of Jesus Christ. And I want to focus on that this morning, getting a grasp on the authority of Jesus Christ. Now, this is a thick subject in the Bible. We could spend a lot of time here, and probably we won't this morning. But you know, what I want to share with you is this, and something that I was thinking of in regard to authority. Authority gives power. You know, if someone has authority, that person has power. Power to control, to influence things, power to have jurisdiction over people or nations or even kingdoms. That's authority. Authority gives power. Authority also gives the right. If you look at this idea of authority, authority gives the right to determine things, the right to establish rules, the right to apply judgment. You know, this is what authority does. Another thing that authority does is it gives privilege, the privilege to receive, to obtain, to possess. So we look at this passage and Jesus is the one who has authority here. But they are alarmed and they are astonished and they are wondering, what is this man doing? Why is this man teaching that is so different? We all know what authority is. And when we see authority, we feel a sense of respect and even a sense of fear. You know, we feel like, okay, this person has authority. Nobody has to explain that to us when we realize someone with authority is present. But there is only one who has authority to surpass all other authorities together. His name is Jesus Christ. He is powerful. He is mighty. He is over everything. And I want to share some of that with you this morning. Now, when we look at the authority of Jesus here as he comes to teach this group of people in this synagogue in Capernaum, what was the source of Jesus' authority? Where is this authority coming from? Well, what I was thinking and looking throughout the Word is that Jesus taught with authority, for he is the truth. The power that he had, the authority that he had, the source of his power or his authority is that he is the truth. Jesus claimed that he is the truth. In John chapter 14, verse 6, Jesus said, I am the way, I am the truth and the life, and no one comes to the Father except through me. Think about these words for a moment here. Think about this man, Jesus of Nazareth, who grew up among the people, was a carpenter, and now he was doing miracles, he was healing, he was proclaiming the gospel, but when he comes to this synagogue, he's teaching in such a way and doing miracles and saying things that nobody was used to hear before. And even the way that he was doing it was alarming. Now, later on, Jesus goes farther and deeper and he says, I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life. Nobody can say those words. Nobody has the authority or the power or the privilege to say these things or the right to even stand up and say something as mighty as this. Now, either Jesus was a liar or Jesus is God, the Son of God himself. Now, when we look at Jesus being the truth and he's claiming that he's the truth, both the written word of God and Jesus are the truth. This is something that we learn throughout the Word of God. In fact, the Word of God is called the Word of Christ. So, first of all, in John chapter 1, verse 14, we read that the Word became flesh and dwell among us. Think about this. The Logos, the Word of God, in a way, became flesh and dwell amongst us in the same place where we are. And we have seen His glory, glory as of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. So Jesus is the truth. When the Word became flesh and He walked amongst us and He was with us, He was full of grace and full of truth. Now in Colossians chapter 3 verse 16, we read, let the Word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom. So the Word of God, what we call the Word of God or the Scriptures, they are actually the Word of Jesus Christ himself. So we learn from the Word of God that Jesus is speaking to us. But when Jesus came to this world and when he was teaching in the synagogue, the Word of God was present there. The truth of God was present, speaking with authority and giving these wonders and doing these miracles here. So Jesus was the truth of God manifested, walking among the people. This is something amazing that we learn through this passage. Now, the teaching of the Word of God and its message, which is what we have here, and the teaching of Christ as he was performing miracles and he was teaching, and this message of Jesus are in perfect agreement. There is no difference from one from another one. The same thing is there. Both are equally true. Both are absolutely, and both of them absolutely fulfill the substance of what truth is. Both of them are meant by God to give us direction and instruction. So when Jesus came and he spoke with authority in the synagogue, think about this for a moment. Jesus was the truth, standing in front of them. It was the same power as the word of God speaking to these men sitting in the synagogue and listening to Jesus Christ himself. Now the other thing that I see in the authority of Jesus, or the source of the authority of Jesus, is that Jesus taught with authority, for he came to give witness of the truth. He came to testify to the truth. That's what the word of God says. So his whole purpose in his incarnation was to bear witness to the truth of God, the truth of everything. So in John chapter 18, verse 37, the Bible says that Jesus was arrested and he was before the presence of Pilate over there. And Pilate came to him and said, "So you are a king." He asked him a question there. Now Jesus answered, "You say that I am a king. For this purpose I was born. And for this purpose I have come into the world, to bear witness to the truth. I came to this world to bear witness to the truth. Everyone who is of the truth listens to my voice." So these men are gathered, they're listening to Jesus, and Jesus is giving a witness to the truth. He's testifying of the truth of God himself right there. And he says, and right there when he was talking to Pilate, "Everyone who is of the truth hears my voice, understands my message, knows who I am, and starts grasping and understanding of my authority." They were looking and wondering, why is this man speaking with such authority and making these miracles? They were wondering, maybe they didn't have an idea who Jesus was, and they didn't have an ear for the truth of God, because Jesus Christ was testifying of the truth. So Jesus is speaking with authority and teaching with authority because he is a witness to the truth. Now, also, when we look at these, you know, Jesus testifying to the truth. In Hebrews chapter 1, verse 1 through 3, I want you to go with me. If you have your phone or your Bible with you there, I want you to follow me through this scripture. And just look at the power of God manifested, and the truth of God manifested through Jesus Christ when Christ came into this world. It says in verse 1, "Long ago, at many times and in many ways," because God always spoke, he says, "God spoke to our fathers by the prophets. Long ago and at many times and in many ways." This is the grace and the power of God trying to reach us and to speak to us. "God spoke to our fathers by the prophets. But in these last days," and these last days includes us Christians right now in the 21st century, "in the last days, he has spoken to us by his Son, whom he appointed the heir of all things, through whom also he created the world. He is the radiance of the glory of God and the exact imprint of his nature, and he upholds the universe by the words of his power." Jesus, the radiance of the glory of God and the exact imprint of his nature, came to give a testimony to the truth in this place, in this synagogue. So when you think of Jesus speaking over there with authority, he's speaking with authority, for he's the truth, and he's giving a testimony of the truth to them right there. So God himself came to bear witness to what the truth is. Common man didn't have that kind of authority. You know, when we look at this in the passage that we were reading back in Mark chapter 1, the connotation there, the explanation right there, it says Jesus came speaking with authority, not as the scribes. So he uses the word scribe right there. Now, the scribes were the lawyers of the law, the interpreters of the law. They were studying the law, and they were giving the law and the teaching of the law to every man in the synagogues, in the temple, in Jerusalem. And this was the core of the religion, of the Jewish religion over there. But when Jesus came, although he was teaching from the same word, there was something different. He was teaching with authority. And he's saying, he has authority. He's speaking in a different way. We are astonished and amazed of what he's saying and the way he's saying things. And what I thought is, you know, common men do not have that power, that authority that Jesus Christ had. It was impossible. Scribes and Pharisees often taught commandments out of human traditions. And in other instances, they changed the truth for their own benefits. They kind of hide the truth and they promoted their own benefits and their own ideas and their own agendas. We look in the Word of God and in Matthew chapter 15, verse 8 and 9, Jesus is speaking later. He says, "These people honors me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. In vain do they worship me, teaching as doctrine the commandments of men. In vain they use my name and worship me and teach as if I was with them, because they are teaching doctrines of men, commandments of men." And in Matthew 23:23, Jesus comes and confronts them and he says, "Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you tithe mint and dill and cumin and have neglected the weightier matters of the law, justice and mercy and faithfulness. These you ought to have done without neglecting the others." So the scribes, for once, they were common men who didn't have the authority that Jesus Christ had. But the other thing that we see is that the scribes and the Pharisees were hypocrite men. They had their own agenda. They were following their own ways. They were doing their own things. And you know, when Jesus came, there was a drastic difference right there in his teaching and the teaching that they were accustomed to hear from the leaders that they have over there. So as Christians, even now, you know, and as men, you know, as common men, we quote and we mimic. And even the same Word of God, sometimes we repeat it. But when Jesus taught, he wasn't suggesting. Think about this. As he commanded, he was ordaining. And whatever he said, you can bank on it. Because the Bible says, "Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will not pass away." That's the authority of Jesus Christ. That's the power of Jesus Christ. You know, when we look at this, we got to remember God was speaking to these men. And when we look at the authority of Jesus Christ over there, you know, we need to understand there was no partiality in Christ. There was only the truth. You know, there was no convenience. There was not a hidden agenda or nature trying to influence what he was saying. You know, Jesus was clear, he was focused, and he was giving the message that they needed to hear at that very moment. And, you know, as we look into this passage, you know, and the authority of Christ and the authority of God, have you come to know the truth of God? Is it a growing experience in your conscience? As we're talking about the authority of Jesus and the truth of God, do you know what this authority really means? And do you know that today the authority of Jesus Christ is possible through the conviction of the Holy Spirit? Do you know that? You know, when we look at the Word of God, in John chapter 16, verse 12 and 13, the Bible says that he's got many things to say to us. Many things to say to us, but we cannot bear them now. But Jesus says, when the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all truth. For he will not speak of his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak. The Spirit does not speak to us in his own authority, but actually he's speaking under the authority of Jesus Christ and whatever Jesus Christ is commanding him to tell us. Now think about this. Today, the power and the authority of Jesus is available for us through the power of the Holy Spirit. We read in the Bible too, in John, that when he comes, he will bring conviction to the world. Conviction of sin, conviction of the judgment of God and the commandments and the justice that God has for us. So if you haven't experienced the authority of Christ and the power of his truth, if you surrender yourself to him, the Spirit tells you what you need because he knows what we need. Christ knows our needs and everything that we're going through. So we look at this, and the source of Jesus' authority was he's the truth. He came to give witness to the truth. And this is something powerful. But you know, one more thing that we see throughout the teaching of Jesus and his authority is that Jesus taught with authority, for he knew everything. He knew everything about everyone. There was nothing hidden from the mind or the presence or the knowledge of Jesus Christ. In fact, in John chapter 2, verse 23 and 20 through 25, he says, "Now when he," speaking of Jesus, "was in Jerusalem at the Passover feast, many believed in his name when they saw the signs that he was doing. And Jesus, on his part, did not entrust himself to them because he knew all people and needed no one to bear witness about men, for he himself knew what was in man." Think about this passage, this scripture here. So he's in Jerusalem, he's teaching, he's making miracles, and some people are believing, many, it says, are believing in his name when they saw the signs and the authority and the miracles he was doing and maybe the way he was teaching and his compassion and everything. But Jesus, on his part, did not entrust himself to them because he knew all people and needed no one to bear witness about men. What was in them? What were they planning? What were they thinking? How insecure they were. How unstable they were in their decisions. How sometimes they say one thing, but they did another thing. Jesus knew everything. And when you look at something through the Word of God, Jesus knows everything. And when he walks in the synagogue over there, he knows every person sitting over there. He knows every circumstance they're going through. He knows what they're expecting. He knows what they're seeing. He knows what they're struggling with. Everything in the mind of Jesus is open. Whether it was Nathanael when he asked Jesus, "How do you know me?" Remember that? Nathanael, one of the first disciples of Christ, and he asked Jesus, "How do you know me?" And Jesus answered, "Before Philip called you, when you were under the fig tree, I saw you." And the Bible says that Nathanael right there says, "Rabbi, you are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel." And Jesus told them, "Because you have believed these things, you will see greater things." I think that Jesus was speaking to the heart of Nathanael right there. See, when Jesus said, "I saw you under the fig tree," he didn't mean I saw you just sitting over there. He probably referred to something else in the heart of Nathanael. Jesus knew everything. Or whether it was a Samaritan woman when she said, I have no husband. Remember, Jesus went to get water from the well, and he's talking to this woman, and after a little conversation, Jesus says, "Go call your husband." And she answers, "I have no husband." You know, "I'm a single woman," he's trying to say. But only to hear from Jesus, "You are right in saying you have no husband. For you have had 5 husbands, and the one that you have now is not your husband." Think about the power, the authority, the knowledge of Jesus Christ when someone was speaking to him. He knew everything. There was nothing you could hide in front of him. Now, Peter at one time said to Jesus, "We have believed and come to know that you are the Holy One of God." You know, Jesus was preaching, he was proclaiming the truth, and many departed and left them and abandoned his teaching and everything that he was doing. And Jesus asked Peter and says, "Do you want to leave as well?" And Peter realizes that that's not the best idea. He says, "You are the only one who has eternal words of life. For us, words of eternal life for us." And then Peter goes on to say, "We have believed and come to know that you are the Holy One of God." You know, Peter was trying to say, "We really come to the conclusion of who you are by our own strength." But you know, Jesus replies to Peter and says, "Did I not choose you, the 12? You are here and you know who I am only because I choose to reveal that to you. And I know what you're thinking, Peter." And then Jesus also adds, "And yet one of you is the devil." He knew everything. He knew what was in the heart of Peter. He knew who was the traitor in the group. He knew everything. And when Jesus comes to speak to someone, you know, he knows everyone. He knows everything. He knows what's going on. He's not guessing. He's not looking at the culture. He's not looking at the weather. He's not looking at what people is wearing in order to tell them the truth. He's not looking at their hands or their fingers to see if they're married. He's not looking at their eyes to see if they're sad or happy or excited or worried. No, he knows everything. Every little thing of everyone he knew. And today, this morning, he knows everything about us. He knows everything. Jesus knows our fears. He knows our failures, our hurts and strengths, our pride and our needs, our future mistakes, and yet he loves us. He loves us. He called us knowing everything ahead of us. 20, 30, 40 years ago, he called us. And he knew that we were going to make mistakes and doubt him at times and be afraid and stumble in many ways. But you know what? He still called us because he loves us. And that's a powerful thing right there. So when Jesus is speaking to us, the source of his authority is that he knows everything of us. He knows everything. Now, another thing that I want to speak to in regard to this passage this morning is the power and extent of Jesus' authority. So the source of his authority, we see why he was speaking with authority. But now the power and the extent of Jesus' authority, to go a little deeper, is very clear throughout the Bible. The Bible is clear in regard to Jesus' authority. His authority is indisputed throughout the Word of God. If you see in the Bible, in like in Matthew 28, verse 18 and 20, Jesus says to his disciples, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me." All authority. And when he says all authority, he means all authority. And he says, "Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you." Because the authority is mine. I am God. I am Lord. So you go and make disciples and you teach them about me. And then he says, "And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age." Think about the extent of his power right there. His authority. Not only he has the right and privilege, but he's got the power to do it. I talk a little bit about authority in the beginning and see authority, as we saw, is power, is the right, is the privilege. Jesus has the dunamis, the power to do something. Not only the right, not only the name, not only he's the Son of God, but in him there was power as he was teaching and he was healing and he was facing the demons and he was healing the people who were possessed. He had the power of God in himself. So that's the extent of his power. Now, Jesus' authority, we learn in the Bible that he's been given to him by his Father. In Matthew 11:27, we read, "All things have been handed over to me by my Father, and no one knows the Son except the Father, and no one knows the Father except the Son, and anyone to whom the Son chooses to reveal him." So, God, Jehovah, is the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Now, Jesus, obviously, submitted to the Father when he came to this world, to this place, and he was incarnate as one of us, became a servant. But, you know, as we read here, the Father has handed all power to Jesus. And no one knows the Father except the one that the Son chooses to reveal him. What an amazing thing we see here. In fact, in John chapter 17, in the beginning of the chapter, we read that Jesus, he says, "Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son, that the Son may glorify you, since you have given him authority over all flesh." So Jesus has all authority over all flesh because the Father has given him that authority. And not only over all flesh just to do whatever he wants, but he says to give them eternal life to all whom you have given him. So Jesus has the power and the authority to give life and to control everything. Jesus' authority existed before the creation of the world. We read in John 17:5, "Now, Father, glorify me in your own presence with the glory that I had with you before the world existed." So he received the authority from the Father, but yet he had that authority before the foundation of the world. That's what we read in the Bible. In John chapter 1, verse 1 through 4, it says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men." That's the power of Jesus, the authority of Jesus before the creation of the world. Before we ever existed, before he ever set foot on this earth, he had that authority. Jesus' authority, as we read in the Bible, created the universe. But not only that, he sustains everything that exists. I want to invite you to a passage here in Colossians chapter 1, verse 15. And just look for a moment here in the authority, to the authority of Jesus. Verse 15, it says, "He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. For by him all things were created, in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities. All things were created through him and for him." Everything was created for him, by him. "And he is before all things, and not only that, in him all things hold together." I mean, right now, the whole universe is holding together. Our very breath is holding up because of the power of Jesus Christ holding it together. "And he is the head of the body, the church, and he is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in everything he might be preeminent. For in him all the fullness of God was pleased to dwell." All the fullness of God is pleased to dwell. So he is the one who created in his authority the universe, and he sustained everything that exists, everything that we have, everything we are, even our minds and our hearts and even the evil and satanic world dimensions. You know, Jesus is sustaining those things by his power, and he will finish them when he wants to, because he is above all power and all authority in this world. So the extent of Jesus' authority is amazing. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. In Psalm 92, we read, before the mountains were brought forth, and ever you had formed the earth and the world, from everlasting to everlasting, you are God. You are God. So his authority was powerful because God was there speaking to the people in Capernaum in the synagogue. So we look at the power of his authority. Now when we look at the extent of this authority, it's over all and is consistent with the true view of everything. When he spoke and when he speaks, you know, Jesus is consistent. One thing I was thinking, and it's just powerful to me, every time Jesus spoke when he was in this world, he never lied. He never gave an impression of something just to give an impression. He was truthful at all times. Whether he was talking about the gospel or healing or eternal matters, anything that he spoke of, he was truthful. Even when he was just having fun with his disciples and eating and enjoying their presence, Jesus was truthful all the time, and he was consistent. And the extent of Jesus' authority, let me just share some things here with you. It's over every dimension of the universe. Everything in the universe. In Revelation 4:11, it says, worthy are you, our Lord and God, to receive glory and honor and power, for you created all things, and by your will they existed and were created. By your will. Jesus, his authority, the extent of his authority, is over the supernatural world of angels and spirit. Everything. In Matthew chapter 12, it tells us that Jesus came and healed someone who was possessed over there. And they questioned him and asked him. And they said, you know, he's delivering men because of the power of Beelzebub. You know, Jesus was powerful. And in the moment when he wants to do something, he can stop. If we think about this, all the powers of evil, all the demons and all the things that exist out there that are against the will of the Lord, in the moment when he wants, he will stop them right away. Because he is powerful. Jesus' extent of authority is over future matters of heaven or hell. When someone asked him about heaven or hell, he always gave an answer about that. And in fact, he said in Luke chapter 12, he says, I tell you what, don't fear those who kill the body. I'll warn you whom you need to fear. Fear him who, after he has killed you, has authority to cast you into hell. Yes, I tell you, fear him. How important it is to understand that Jesus has authority in this world, but also in the world to come, in hell. Many will say hell is hell because of the absence of God in it. Let me tell you something. Hell is hell because the wrath of God is going to pour in that place for those who didn't believe in him. You know, if you read in the Word of God, the Bible says that the smoke of their torment will ascend up forever and ever before the presence of the Lamb. And before the presence of his holy angels. So when we talk about authority, of the authority of Jesus and his extent, it's in this world and in the world to come. In hell itself, right there. Over the purpose of the law. When Jesus thought about the law, and they asked him questions about the law, Jesus was the one who told them the reason of the law was that we will love God with all our heart and with all our soul and all our mind, and to love our neighbors as ourselves, because in these commandments it rests or depends all the law and the commandments of God. So he knew everything. He had authority over everything, and he explained everything with authority over morals and ethics, Matthew 5-7, over marriage and divorce too. Jesus can speak to anything, and in regard to anything, he has authority because he is God himself. So as we look into this passage, you know, it's very important for us to understand the authority of Jesus Christ, his power, how he is sovereign, and he has a plan and a purpose, and he came and manifested the truth to us. He gave witness to the truth so that we will walk in that truth. One of the things that I want to share this morning in the importance of trusting in Jesus Christ's authority is that if we do not trust in God's authority, if we don't believe in Jesus, in fact, if we just don't believe in Him, His existence, we cannot understand the authority. It's impossible for us to grasp His authority and to understand His power. Unless we believe in Him, we will not understand the message of Jesus Christ. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 4, we read that the God of this world has blinded the minds of the unbelievers. So, to keep them from seeing the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. So Satan is fighting and he is trying as much as he can to blind the minds of the unbelievers so they continue not believing Christ. Because in the moment when we trust in Him and believe in Him, we will understand the gospel and the glory of Christ. That glory of Christ is the authority of Jesus Christ, who is the image of God Himself. To trust in Christ, you know, we must surrender ourselves to His Lordship. We need to come to Him and say, Lord, here I am. Here I am. I want to understand who You are. I realize that I need authority in my life. I realize that I am a sinful person who's living to do my own will, but I want to change my ways. In Matthew 11:25, Jesus declared, I thank You, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that You have hidden these things from the wise and understanding, and reveal them to little children. When God reveals something in regard to Himself, whether it is authority or the truth or His power, everything that He reveals about Himself, He reveals to little children. And I think that's a great clue on why we need to humble ourselves and surrender to Christ and realize who He is, His power. You know, many people like to talk about religion. Many people talk about God and they're okay with that. But sometimes as soon as we bring Jesus and we mention His authority, people kind of turn everything off and they don't want to listen anything about Jesus. Let me tell you, Jesus is the only way. And Jesus is the image of the Father. And unless you surrender to Jesus as a little children, you cannot understand His power and His authority. There is a great need for discernment at this point in time in our lives that comes only through submission to that Lordship of Jesus Christ. In fact, in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1, it says, understand this, that in the last days there will be times of difficulty. There will be times of difficulty. And then in verse 13 through 15, it says, while evil people and imposters will go from bad to worse, deceiving and being deceived. But as for you, continue in what you have learned and have firmly believed. See, there is this deception, and we need discernment. And in the last days, as we read here, people is going to be going from bad to worse. And then we look at this, but we need to continue in what we have learned and have firmly believed. And then look what it says, knowing from whom you have learned it, and how from childhood you have been acquainted with the sacred writings, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. See, if we stand in the truth of God, if we stand in the gospel, and if we remember what we learned from God, and we stand up right there with the sacred writings as we see, we are able to make, to be wise for salvation through Jesus Christ. There is a very important time right now in which we are to live under the direction of God, the Holy Spirit, and the truth of who Christ is. Many have not yet surrendered to the authority of Jesus Christ. And as we look at this passage, His authority, the authority of Jesus and His commandment to us, enable us to proclaim His sovereign power with boldness, to go forth and to teach others about the authority of Jesus Christ, His power and His will for many. So I want to invite you this morning to look at the authority of Jesus and just to ask you, have you surrendered to Jesus Christ? Even if you are a Christian, do you know what that means? Is that authority a reality in you? Is the Holy Spirit convicting you on a daily basis? When you read the Word of God, are you learning the direction for salvation? Are you learning what God wants you to do? You know, God knows your needs. He knows your situation. He knows every area of your life. And just as He came at Capernaum and speak in that synagogue and talk to people with authority, today He can come and talk to us right now and tell us what we need. what we lack, and he can come and bring his love to us and give us security and confidence by his power. He is the same today as he was yesterday, and he will be the same forever and ever. So let's pray here as we finish this morning. Heavenly Father, we want to thank you for your power, your authority, your direction, Lord, for the wisdom and the faith that you have given us, Lord, to believe in you, to trust in you, Lord, and to know that you exist, first of all, that you are in control of everything, Lord, that you are mighty and powerful, that there is nothing hidden in your sight from us, Lord, from our hearts. You know our fears, you know our struggles, you know, Lord, every circumstance that we are into right now, Lord. And we want to humble ourselves and pray to you for direction, for wisdom, for guidance, Lord. Lord, we want to surrender with everything before your presence, acknowledging your power and giving you praises, Lord. Thank you, Jesus, for opening our minds. No one comes to the Father unless you call him, Lord. We see that. And the ones that are not planted by the Father, they will not be able to grow, Lord. Yet, we humble ourselves and we pray for wisdom, for guidance, for boldness to proclaim, because there are many who have not surrendered to you, Jesus. So we want to use, Lord, what you have given us, your resources and the knowledge of your word. In your mighty name, Jesus, we pray this morning. And we thank you for this time, Lord. Bless everyone, Lord, as they listen to this message and as they are worshiping you in their houses, Lord. Guide us and direct us. Amen. Amen.